1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by the Marcus Majestic Parking Lot Cinema. For a unique double feature drive-in experience, check out this week's movie selections at marcustheaters.com/parkinglotcinema.
Time to talk music news with the first name in music, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys?
Very well. Thank you.
Good.
Very well.
All ready for a big holiday weekend?
Do you have any plans, Gary?
A few things. We have a big jazz festival here. It's actually the world's largest free jazz festival, free as in no pay. And it's going to be broadcast and streamed this year, no audience. But I'll go down for the opening night tonight just to check out the technology and the situation and how they're doing everything.
Where is it? Your brisket smoking weekend last year?
No, it was this year was July.
Oh, 4th. Was that July?
Or was it Memorial Day? It all blurs together right now. So
yeah,
is this summer?
There was enough brisket that I know kept me eating well into August. So.
How long does brisket keep in the refrigerator once you've smoked it?
You know, as long as you don't keel over, it keeps as long as you want it.
Okay, all right. So you do the smell test every time?
Sometimes.
Because at my house, you get a 1 week limit. That's
really?
It. After 1 week,
really?
Out of here.
It's a little better than that. Yeah. No, I just go with the mouth and body test. If I eat it,
they don't get
if
it.
I eat it and I'm still walking around, then it was good.
Wow, that's quite a test. That's a brave way. You're going to probably be one of the first to line up for the vaccine test then, huh?
He may not even need it.
Anyway, I might not need it if I eat 3-month-old brisket.
Okay, right. Well, there's that too then. Brave man.
Wouldn't that be something to discover?
Wouldn't that be something?
Old brisket gives us what we need to survive coronavirus. That would be great. I would eat a three-month-old brisket sandwich. It might be a little dry, but that's where, you know how you can cure that?
Huh.
Mayo, ketchup.
No,
A1
barbecue sauce.
Well, the motto would be cure for the cure.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere out there, there are doctors like slapping their heads.
That happens. Yeah, a lot
every day on this show. we're gonna do a documentary about the '94 Woodstock.
Yes, on Netflix.
Is that the one where Kurt Loder was nearly crying the night that everything was on fire behind him?
You know, I was there, so I didn't see him.
That was hysterical watching Kurt Loder. He just wanted to go home.
It was intense. I will tell you that. You know, I was maybe 30 yards from where the one storage trailer blew up that went on fire, that, you know, had been put on fire, and it was intense. So yeah, Netflix is going to do a docuseries. They haven't said when it's going to air or how many episodes there will be, but just examining the festival and what happened there and why it went ultimately wrong. You know, hopefully they will acknowledge that a good chunk of that weekend was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of good music. It was uncomfortable for a lot of people who were there. You know, they really tried to rook the audience, you know, with the prices of water and that's why
there was the big dust up. Was they were just people who went were just being gouged for everything.
They were, and they got fed up.
A chicken sandwich was going for like $50 or something like that, right?
And then the Red Hot Chili Peppers give everybody candles to light, just like they did at Woodstock '94, not the right thing to do at not the right time.
But not as bad as the Fire Festival, right? I mean,
well, the Fire Festival didn't happen.
Well, so,
but they let people stranded, left to die.
I would call that worse. Although, you know, you're kind of asking about the difference between two types of apples in this case.
Yeah,
because they were both bad. I mean, you know, you have the Woodstock '99. You had these allegations of you know, sexual abuse, lots of violence, robbery. So, you know, it was not peace, love, and music.
Right. There was anything but like the original Woodstock, which is what they were trying to recapture, right?
Right. Or even recapture Woodstock '94, which was crazy but fun.
All right. I'll be interested in seeing that. Yeah. I will definitely check it out. CMA Awards were announced this week?
They were. They're going to be aired. You know, it's Country Music Association. They're going to be aired November 11th on ABC from Nashville. Top nominee, Miranda Lambert. She had 7. Luke Combs had 6. Maren Morris had 5, Dan and Shay and Carly Pierce each had 4. So, and you know, they'll be announcing performers, they'll be announcing how they're going to do it. I imagine it's going to be kind of virtual, you know, maybe a little, I don't think it'll be quite as produced as the MTV Awards were on Sunday, but I think, you know, I think it'll be a mostly virtual show. There will be performances. There will be special awards, Lifetime Achievement Awards, and things like that.
Performances will take place at the Ryman, at the Grand Ole Opry in Opryland, and the Bluebird Cafe. Does that
and
sound
I'm
right?
I'm also hearing at the arena, you know, at the Bridgestone Arena.
Okay.
They'll pop
right.
somebody on stage there. And I think that's going to be the, for music awards, you know, MTV kind of did set the template for that. Let's take a location and then bounce people, you know, bounce the viewer around the city. And, do it from different places. You know, I thought it worked well on Sunday, so I think it can work well in
it's a nice format.
Whether it's for the CMAs, the ACMs, the Billboard Music Awards will be coming up.
Well, we're getting better at doing it this way, that's for sure.
Oh,
we have a little more experience.
Yeah, I mean, really, they're approaching it as as TV shows now rather than, you know, award show that happens to be virtual.
Yeah. How's James Hetfield get a spider named after him?
Actually, it's a snake. I mistyped that. He's getting a snake named after it because some scientists are Metallica fans.
Yeah.
So this is a new species of African bush spider, which, of course, will be, which, of course, is venomous. And it's going to be called the, let me find the name of it here. It's the... Asfardi Hetfieldi, or Hetfieldi. You know, a scientist I'm not, but it coils. It's apparently got all sorts of cool markings on it. Has what they call a dragon-like head,
yeah.
a triangular-shaped head, and a dragon-like appearance.
Has he made any comment about this?
He hasn't yet. You know, Metallica's been busy between the release of the S&M 2 album and the virtual concert last week. Metallica did, however, this week they became the first act to have 4 number ones on the Billboard Mainstream Rock Songs chart in 4 different decades. So 90s, 2000s, the 10s, and now the 20s. The current single is All Within My Hands, and that's from S&M 2. Nobody else has had a number one. You know, keep in mind,
yeah.
Number one. You've probably had bands that have had songs on the chart
right.
for decades. I'm surprised they didn't have a number one during the 80s. I mean, again, Enter Sandman was the beginning of it, and that was in the 90s. So
I know this isn't on your list, and you know it too, and Brian knows it because he has a list in front of him, but I want to talk about Taylor Swift for just a second. I heard her album is doing very well, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But I heard it described as music to kill yourself by, basically.
Wow, is it that? Is it?
It's not an up album.
Look at the cover. It's just a black and white barren forest, right? Woods?
Trees. This is the one that she wrote, all by herself in 30 days?
Right. So it's very angsty. It's a little bit, well, not more than a little bit. It's melancholy.
And those are the upbeat songs.
It's kind of it's her take on a folk album, and I think her view of folk music, or she uses folkier music, because it's definitely, contemporary, but she uses that style to express her darker sentiments. This is not an album of just, oh, this boy done me wrong song, ha ha ha, I'm gonna kick him in the nuts. This is a little more insightful, a little more down.
And this is the biggest album of 2020, right?
Well, and it would serve to fit, right? In terms of mood, that this is the kind of album that's going to be 2020. But listen, if Taylor Swift had put out an album of polka songs, it'd be the number one album of 2020. That's who she is. She puts out a record and a zillion people buy it.
Well, and okay, so if she puts out the same thing all the time.
I agree.
She'll be criticized.
Right.
But
right.
there's always the critics that say, why doesn't she stick to what she does best and do the same thing all the time?
Another pop, hooky thing? Yeah. No, I understand wanting to try different things.
And listen, it was a little bit, if not controversial, then certainly attention-getting when she kind of pivoted into pop from more of the country pop
Okay, I'll call it right now. Her next one will be really upbeat, happy, go lucky. Look how much money I have, unbelievably richness.
Maybe.
Happy album.
Let me just check, Gary, because I'm not sure, but you are the music expert. There is no law that says I must listen to the Taylor Swift album ever or on a regular basis or anything like that, right? I can just choose to not to go my own way.
There's no law yet. I understand it's part of the new relief package that's being negotiated in Congress.
But I thought that was I thought that was a good description of the album. This is good music to kill yourself by.
Music is good music to kill yourself by.
Thank you.
It's good music to sit in a dark room and be depressed by.
Rainy day music.
Rainy day music.
Oh, no. Put it on a rainy day.
Sweater and cramps music.
You have to put this music on the sunniest of days. It's a little down. Nickelback's looking for distribution on their documentary.
Yeah, this could be a good adventure, right? So there is a Nickelback documentary that's been made about the band's career. And, really, it's phenomenal success as a rock band. So now it's a matter of finding distribution, according to Mike Kroeger, the bass player. He did an interview this week where he said they're putting the finishing touches on the documentary and they're looking for a distribution partner. It'll get one. Question is, will it be a streaming service or will it be a network like Axis? Or will it wind up in theaters in some?
I pray it doesn't wind up on Access. There's just too many commercials on Access.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
It would take 4 hours to get through that documentary if it's an hour and a half long.
Yeah, it depends how long. Yeah, if it's an hour and a half, you're going to be sitting watching the screen for a while. Meanwhile, but Access will have Farm Aid this year. That'll be one of the outlets that has the virtual Farm Aid concert that's going to be taking place on September 25th at 7:00 in the evening. It'll be on Axis as well as streamed on YouTube. The founders, Willie Nelson, Neil Young, John Mellencamp, as well as Dave Matthews will take part of it, and they'll be announcing a lineup soon enough.
Do we have box sets coming out today?
We have some good ones. The Rolling Stones' Goat's Head Soup.
What was on that album?
Pardon?
What was on that album?
That was Angie.
Oh,
and
okay.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo Heartbreaker.
Okay.
And Star Star, which is known by another name that we can't say on the air.
Right.
Yeah. Dancing with Mr. D is on that Silver Train. Really an underrated, mostly because it came in the wake of Exile on Main Street, kind of an underrated, underrated album in the Stones catalog. The bonus tracks on this one have Scarlet, which they recorded with Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin, as well as a couple of other songs that were finished but unreleased, weren't included on the album. There's also a Fleetwood Mac 1979 to 1976, subtitled The Mediocre Years. Not their subtitle, but my subtitle. This is the one that, it's kind of where it was between the glory years of Peter Green and Jeremy Spencer, and then, went through the Bob Welch period and then ends before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. So, a lot of people like the Bare Trees album, and that's part of it. There is an unreleased live set, though, from 1976, where you get to hear the Bob Welch era of the band, and that hasn't been out before, so that's kind of interesting.
I guess I'm a slave to pop music or hits or whatever, or hooks, because I am as uninterested in Fleetwood Mac before Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham as I am in Genesis before Phil Collins took over.
Ooh, the latter one's harsh.
The Peter Gabriel years were weird. They were. Come on. They were out there and
they were good weird, though. I mean,
they were singing
ready,
in animal outfits. They were out and Peter Gabriel was just bizarre.
Yeah, that's why we liked it. You didn't smoke enough dope back then, did you?
I guess maybe that was the problem. I like Peter Gabriel, though. I do. I like his solo stuff. But the Genesis stuff was just too capes and tights and prancing and all that on stage. No thanks.
I will take some time and email you a playlist from the Peter Gabriel years, and then you'll change your mind.
Fair enough.
All right. Yes, I'll go with that. Five Finger Death Punch guitarist. Rumored to be leaving or may have already left. Does he come to practice?
There, fans are trying to figure out. So Jason Hook, who's been their lead guitarist since forever, He had to sit out the last tour they did last year in Europe because of gallbladder surgery. And a lot of people are putting stock in an Instagram post this week that the band posted with his with the guy who took his place, Andy James, in the picture rather than Jason Hook. And I guess there are all sorts of rumors running around, and in recent interviews the band has sidestepped the question about whether Jason Hook's still in the band. So until Five Finger Death Punch says something, we don't know, but it's certainly out there. Five Finger Death Punch, by the way, has, not surprisingly, postponed its spring tour, which was its delayed, you know, late summer. It's delayed 2020 spring tour. They rescheduled dates into the fall. Now they're going to reschedule them into 2021 and probably in the fall of 2021.
All right.
Who's watching Britney Spears?
You know, right now it's still her dad.
Okay.
And actually her sister, too. Jamie Lynn Spears has been named a trustee, although that's mostly related to finances. Meanwhile, in her latest court filing, Britney Spears is asking the judge who's overseeing her conservatorship to appoint a financial management company, it's Bessemer Trust Company, to oversee the finances and control the power of attorney for her medical decisions. She's asked that to change, you know, which would strip a little more power from her dad.
Have you interviewed her?
It's been a long time and it's been since before the breakdown.
Would you like to these days?
Yeah, I'd be interested to talk to her and see what she's, you know, but she was very, you know, trained and polished, you know, when she first came out. So I can't imagine an interview now would be particularly revealing. But it would be interesting to ask her some questions.
I'd watch her and see if she was, like, asking you to bake a hacksaw into a pie for her, you know, help her escape, whatever. I just wonder what she's like. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, you know, some of the TMZ things, and, you know, she appears to be okay. But, yeah, it would be interesting to have a conversation.
I wish I had so much money that you had to hire a company to watch over me.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Gary, we're out of time.
A company all to right. chase well, after me.
Right, yeah.
Listen, have a good holiday weekend. Be safe. Don't, you know, keep a safe distance from the barbecue.
All right.
While you're cooking.
But you as well.
Too,
you as well. Close. No fire incidents.
Don't get wild with the lighter fluid.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Gary, we'll
all
talk
right,
to you
we'll
next
talk
week.
Next week.
Gary Graff, our music expert.